The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Footy Spotlight thanks to Rex Gorrell. If you're a Cats fan, where else would you rather be right now than at the Gabba in Brisbane? 1v2, sun shining on a beautiful Brisbane afternoon. Thanks to Prestige Jayco. Time to talk about the saddest part of the week for the Geelong Football Club. It's been a tough 6 weeks in terms of greats that we've lost of the club. It was Kevin Higgins in early July. We lost John Gunner Scarlett in late July. Russ Middlemiss a couple of weeks ago passed away, of course, a member of the 51-52 Premiership sides. But maybe the greatest cat of all we lost on Wednesday. The sad news came through from Perth at the age of 84 that Graham Polly Farmer had passed away after a long battle with Alzheimer's. We're lucky enough to be joined by one of the men that was part of the great 20 that won the Premiership against Hawthorn in 1963. A man who played 94 games and kicked 109 goals in the hoops. I think residing up on the border these days up near Albury Wodonga. Great to have John Sharrock join us on K-Rock Football. G'day, John.
Hi, guys. Good to be with you.
Tom King, Ben Casanilla and Lee Brown in the K-Rock box. We'd like to be talking to you under better circumstances, but firstly, your reaction when you heard that Polly had passed.
Oh, well, it's always sad, but in the last 4 or 5 years, he's been really struggling. So in one way, it's a blessing, but it's sad to that a great man like he is parted. You know, he was so much a part of our lives, you know.
You arrived at the club from Toolley Buck right in time, right in the sweet spot for the Geelong Footy Club with Polly, who arrived in 1962. Can you take us through your early impressions of Polly?
Well, I actually met Paul on the end of the season trip in when I was 18. There was Dennis Marshall and myself were invited to go to New Zealand. And I only came to Geelong in 63, so Paul just took me under his wing. He was like another father to me because I had never been away from home, but between he and Fred Waller and Pat and Paul and Mar, they were like another set of parents to me. They every Tuesday I'd probably get there for tea, and they just a great couple, and it's just sad that it's come to an end.
John, thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy. It's Ben Casanilla. I just wanted to ask you, I heard a lot of people this week talk about Polly Farmer, and I also heard Sam Newman talking. He was talking about his personality. He was quite a quiet, sort of shy guy, and he was very humble in terms of what he did. On the field, was he a different person actually out on the field?
Well, Paul was a professional footballer from the day one that I met him. I mean, just to give you an instance, we'd do 2 or 3 laps to warm up, Dougie Wade and I, and Paul would do 6. In the run-throughs, we do 8 or 9, and he'd do 10 or 12. We have 15 shots for goal, and Paul would have 25 shots. He was just a professional footballer and from when I first met him. And, you know, he was where we trained, had a Sunday morning break and got over your injuries and a few beers and got together. But he trained Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, 4 days a week, and where we would probably do 2 to 3. He never drank or smoked. He was just a great specimen of a man. I can't speak highly enough, and he's just a really a great fella.
I suppose it goes to show you how much times have changed that Polly played in the ruck as a 191-centimetre player, and today we look down and Jake Colajasny is considered a half-back flanker for the Cats at 193 centimetres. It's amazing how the dimensions of the AFL footballer / VFL footballer have changed over the decades.
Yeah, well, Paul, I'm certain that if we were stuck for a centre-half-back or a centre-half-forward, Polly could have played there. He was as quick on the ground as I've ever seen any big bloke, and you know, he was just a professional wherever he played. I mean, I've never seen a bloke could go up in the ruck, and he could change in mid-air. If Billy was covered, he'd look for someone like Tony Polonyi or Risey. You know, he was just a freak, and he never got flustered. He was, if someone gave him a backhand, he wouldn't say a word. In about 5 minutes later, the bloke would be holding his breath, trying to get up off the ground, you know. So he was just a very quiet achiever, Paul.
So he knew how to square up.
Yes. Yeah. One day I got ran into the fence by a fella called Delicate Bez Dixon, and I hit the umpire, but I think the umpire did it deliberately because he reported him hitting with the right hand, and Pole hit him with the left hand, and they went to the and they got off on the technicality. So,
so you reckon the umpire was in on it? Did him a favour and knew he needed to be squared up? And
I reckon so. Yeah.
Do you reckon they should bring that in now?
Oh no, but he was he's still dirty. Or he was still dirty on the 67 grand final. He thought we were harshly done by there, and there's a lot of rumours going around about that. But Pol was fronted up a week before that. He was offered a lot of money to play a very ordinary game, but he told me that he'd never ever contemplated doing that, but he was very, very upset with a few umpiring decisions after that on that day. So,
was that as upset as you've sort of seen him in his career?
Oh yeah. No, we were certainly beaten. By the way, I mean we're not sour milk, but there's a lot of free kicks played where they had helped Richmond, and there was John Gunner-Scarlett, who lost the other week. He took a mark by goal square and wasn't paid, and all those couple of free kicks against Pole weren't free kicks. It was just a... Anyway, that's time. We can't change that. And I'm certain that if Polly could have, he would have. But
we're obviously talking about changing the game. And, I mean, Polly's been credited with changing handball as an offensive weapon. You know, as previously it was just something to do if you're under pressure to release the ball. But was it something that happened in one particular season, or did it just evolve that he started to use the handball more and more over a period of a couple of seasons as an offensive part of the game?
Well, I think he came here as and was pretty well known as a very good handballer. And, you know, when we trained, I know that the few blokes that come down as recruits probably would handball, and they'd be maybe 3 feet away from where he handballed, because Polo was hand in front of had you moving when he handballed. So it was the fellows that didn't understand him, they were always, you know, 3 foot behind where he's handballing, because once you took off, you know, the pole put the ball in the right spot to for you to pick up. You know, it was just he just had that instinct. I don't know what it was, but it was as good as a kick. I mean, 30 metres sometimes he punched and it'd be bang on your chest. And if you weren't looking, he'd certainly let you know that you've got to concentrate, you know.
The 63 boys get together occasionally. John, do you get down much on it? I know, obviously, it's a hike down the Hume.
Yeah, we had a life members dinner last Thursday, which was inducted a few of the Hall of Famers, and it was a great night. I mean, that's a free meal for me. That's just pretty good. But look, we're unfortunately running out of numbers. We started with 21. We've lost 8 of them now, so they're back to 13. But and of course we lost Bobby. But now we have a dinner once a year at Billy Brownless's pub at the Cremorne, and we invite some guests and the widows of all the boys. They're invited. And Bobby Davis's wife Margie brings his daughters, their daughters, and yeah, it's a great get together. And I mean, Hindsey and I were, Gordon Hines and I were the youngest. I'm 75 now, so it's sort of, we're in the last quarter.
You're a spring chicken, John. You're not in the last quarter. Just wanted to ask you, do you like watching the modern footy? I mean, you obviously follow the Cats, but do you like to watch other games? Do you like the game as a whole in 2019?
Well, it's totally different. I mean, it's they're fitter. They run. The grounds are beautiful. They wear slippers. The ball's a bit smaller. I'm a bit old-fashioned, but I'd like to see the umpires play a free kick and not have this congested 10 or 12 round the ball all the time. It'd be easily fixed, even when the ruckman goes up, when they hang on to each other. Whoever they give one free kick to someone, and the next bloke to the next free kick, they wouldn't do it again. Like, Polly never, ever, ever hung on to any ruckman. He went over the back of them, came in the side, backed into them. You know, he did everything. There's no hanging on in those days. And that's the condition of the footy today is the worst part, I think, I mean, they try to free up with these new rules, but if the umpire just played with a push from the bench, you run a bloke in the ground and going back to 5 years ago, you touched a bloke in the back and you got a free kick. But now they just don't worry about it. They just make packs of the footy, and that's the worst part I like about footy. But look, they're magical in their fitness and their efforts around the ball, and they're just so good with the ball. But it's just a shame that it is too congested for me, that's all.
Wearing slippers and the ball's getting small. I wonder where you're going there for a second, John, with that one.
Well, in our days we had boots, you know, yeah. We had heels on there, and we had to put stops in. But I mean, that's why they're more athletic than we were. I mean, they're a lot fitter. I mean, today they train for a quarter before they go out, whereas we do a few exercises and do a couple of laps and a couple of run-throughs, and that's how we warm up, and that's how it's all changed. I mean, it's all for the better, I guess. I mean, but that's my opinion.
Can I ask you, John, one last one from me? Apart from Polly, who's a player that you played with who you think would be perfectly suited now to the modern footy?
Oh, Billy Goggin. Yeah, Bill was a... John Devine. I mean, the late Peter Walker, Roy West. You know, we had a, and Dougie Wade. I mean, we had a ripper side. I mean, unfortunately, we just folded. But those fellas, I mean, they were fit. You know, they were and lean sort of blokes. I mean, today's footy would suit them ideally because they had a football brain. You know,
John, who would you play in the ruck for the Cats? They've made no change today, so they're going with Mark Blitzarves as their first ruck option. You happy with that, or should they be playing either Stanley or Smith?
No, I think Stanley, I thought he had a pretty good first half, actually. You know, this year he bounced up a bit higher than he normally does, and he can kick a goal, and he's a good mark. I mean, I think I should put him back in. I mean, I just think that you need that ruckman, in my opinion. I might be wrong, but still, they've got plenty of coaches to pick a side.
Yeah, we'll see how that unfolds. Are you still selling cars, John? Have you got out of that game up at Wodonga?
No, finished up. I retired 4 or 5 years ago. No, just as I said before, I'm in the last quarter, so it's very important to me that I and my wife that we have the next 10 or 15 years is good. So we're pretty happy what we're doing.
Ah, fantastic, John. Well, great to hear you're in good health. Sorry to hear about Paul, as I think all the football community was on Wednesday. We lose another one of the 63 greats, but we celebrate what a wonderful life and what a wonderful football career he had. We really appreciate you joining us, John. Great to catch up with you. And next time you're down, poke your head into the K-Rock box. We'd love to see you.
Thanks very much for your time. Thanks, boys.
John Sherrick joining us here. Cats great.
The Prestige Jaco pre-game interview.